Hey, this is Jack Brannon, Director of Communications at Sojourn Midtown. You may have never heard about the Ready Team at Midtown, but they do some pretty cool work. They fly under the radar a little bit, so recently we had some people sit down for a conversation. We got Taryn Millett, who's the Ready Team leader, and three other members of Midtown who have participated on the Ready Team in the past, Maddie Wyatt and Ian and Katie Doyle. And we just let them talk for a while about their experiences with the ministry and what they've observed. And this is their conversation.
So the big idea of the Ready Team is that we have situations that come up, benevolence or adoptive and foster families, when they have a situation where they need just extra support that isn't just monetary, we have CGs come and step into those situations. A lot of times this is things like meal trains, this is things like rides, moves, babysitting, things like that. The Ready Team, you sign up as a CG for a four-month trimester and say, we're willing to be on call and hear about these needs, and we will try to step into those needs just the same way we would step into one of our CG members' lives if they had a need like this. The whole idea of why we do the Ready Team is because this is what it looks like to practically be the church and to show God's love to people through very practical things. Mm-hmm. During Jesus's life, he cared holistically for people. He didn't just give them the gospel and tell them who he was and then leave them. He also cared for their physical needs and also cared for their relational needs. And so in the same way, we just have this system in our church to kind of help connect needs and people who have those needs to the church and people who can surround them and love them and walk with them and not fix their situations, not fix every problem, but can answer one need and but also show them what it looks like to have community and to be loved and supported by that community. So
that's really good.
Yeah. Can you all just talk a little bit and share about just your experience with the Ready Team and the family that you all served in particular, but then also some of the little things that you all did as well?
Yeah.
Sure. You want to start?
You can go ahead.
Okay. I think it was like a Sunday at church, like in between services, Tasha Irving approached us with Andy, kind of saying there's like this last minute, what do we have, like a week or two before Christmas? Mm-hmm. And like at that point, they were like, this lady needs a couch, a mattress, and like two other things.
She had been previously unhoused, yeah, and had just received housing. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we need to furnish her house. Are you all able to take that on? And we said, we've never done that before, but we can definitely try.
Yeah, but Lord willing. So we made a few Facebook posts. Katie created an Amazon wish list, which was like really helpful because everyone could donate and just send it directly to the mother and her kids without extra hands being involved, which was really helpful.
Yeah.
But through donations, what we raised, mattresses, a dresser.
We furnished the whole house.
Yeah.
So like living room furniture, cleaning supplies, kitchen appliances. There were people who donated washers and dryers, like brand new ones. Mm-hmm. We had an oven, like a gas oven and stove range. And we actually took like a half day at work on the day that we delivered everything because it was, yeah, like Ian said, maybe a week or two before Christmas that we, our whole CG, like, they were really great at, you know, promoting it. And there were some things that were donated to Sojourn that we were able to pick up. So like team members were able to help in that way by going to get them and bringing them to our house. We just kept everything in our basement and we took a half day and we were the only two from our CG that were able to deliver on that and, you know, actually bring the stuff to her. But we didn't want to deliver too late in the night. So we were like, we don't know how we're going to deliver all of this, just the two of us. But we had a big U-Haul. We were unloading, I mean, bags of clothes and shoes and
wrapped Christmas presents.
Yeah, people bought and wrapped Whoa. Christmas presents, a Christmas tree with ornaments, like everything that you could possibly need for a home. And it was really beautiful to see. She had three little kids, and she was helping us. Her kids were helping us. And we got down to this couch that was donated by a couple that we know at Southeast Christian Church who had donated quite a few items. And we were like, this is so heavy. How are the three of us going to do this? We don't know. We're going to figure it out. And I mean, by the grace of God, a man rolled up with his son and daughter, and they were like, hey, my wife heard about you from something else, and we brought an appliance as well. So we helped them unload their appliance, and this dad and his two kids that aren't connected to Sojourn at all came and helped us move this couch into the house. And we were like, we didn't know how we were going to get this, but the Lord absolutely provided not only the resources, but also the people to help us. Yeah. And I think that that was probably one of the most beautiful stories. Like, all of us stood on her front lawn and prayed for her. And it was just a really beautiful thing to be a part of. And I mean, we had people who offered to bring like a hot Christmas dinner to them through like my parents' neighborhood Facebook page. So like just so many random people that are not linked to Sojourn at all that were like, hey, let me help. Let me give a little bit more. And it really just stemmed from us being like, this lady needs some things. So let's just ask around and see how many things we can get. So that was definitely one of the bigger projects that we've helped with. But with the Ready team, we've also had a few like smaller needs that were much easier.
I have a question.
Yeah.
About the first reverse Grinch stole Christmas situation. Because yeah. That's what it kind of sounds like in my mind.
Yeah.
Really does. So did you guys just like reach out to all of your individual like separate groups, like your networks, like everybody in your CG, like posted on your different Facebook pages or like group chats or whatever, you just spread the word that way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like your whole CG was just like funding.
No, it was not appliances. Just our CG. Mm-hmm. Everyone was just reaching out to their circles of influence and saying, hey, this is a need going on. I mean, I had just started a job maybe 2 weeks before that. And when I asked to take that half day off, my boss was like, oh, yeah, I like penny shop at the Dollar General. So I have all of these just hygiene products and cleaning supplies, and like people at work were donating. And so it wasn't solely the responsibility of our CG. It was definitely, you know, the Lord providing. Mm-hmm. Through so many people outside of that.
And like what a beautiful picture of like your CG coming together. And even though you two were kind of the faces for that family of what that represented, it was not just on your shoulders, and you all were being supported by other people. And then those people are also being supported by other people. Yeah. And so what a beautiful picture of what God-serving community looks like to someone who didn't have a community surrounding her. And just, what a picture of like what it looks like to kind of tap into all your circles of influence and everybody kind of coming together.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So sweet that that lady got to see the church, you know, but also like your friends and your friends of friends got to see the church like serving.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really great.
It was also encouraging to see like the Spirit move with people who like had no clue the real meaning. One of the ladies that saw a Facebook link shared multiple times reached out and said, I have some linens. I swung by after work because they're right around the corner. And she was like, there's the closet. And it was like probably a dozen towels, sheets, pillowcases. And I was like, wow, this is great. Thank you so much. It's very generous. She's like, what are y'all doing this for anyway? I just saw a link and wanted to get rid of this stuff, was literally like
thinking like junk removal, basically. It,
just about, in the best way.
Yeah.
And I told her, and she was like, well, what else do you need?
Yeah.
And I was like, what else do you have? And she was like, well, this condo was leased from a friend of mine, and she left a bunch of stuff and doesn't want it. Dishes, chinaware, the pickup truck we borrowed from my job was like stacked to the roof. I was like holding plates going around turns so they wouldn't like come crashing down on me. But just to see like that generosity just hit people, it was really nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, that was definitely like a big thing that happened. But yeah, what were some of the smaller things that you all did when you were serving?
Was it the next November or right before the Lily thing? We went and we helped. There was a domestic violence survivor and her children that we helped move out of a home that was no longer safe for them. And we actually partnered with some folks with Sojourn New Albany, had reached out to Andy saying, hey, we need hands. Yeah. And we were able to provide some hands. We just had a Saturday off right before we were leaving town. So.
Yeah, and we weren't even available for the whole day. So we were like, we can't help the whole time, but we can help for an hour. And they were like, that's good enough. We'll take whatever you can get.
Mm-hmm. Extra hands for an hour extra is extra hands. Hands for an hour. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And like we've had a request in the past where someone just needed their groceries picked up for them. So one of our CG members was like, I'm free this afternoon. I'll go grab that. So she went to Kroger, grabbed the groceries and a gift card and took it to the woman's house. The woman invited her in and they kind of chatted for a little while. She stayed over probably an hour or two, just kind of having fellowship with each other. And another request was just someone needed a ride to work. Mm-hmm. So definitely some things that seem small to us, some like smaller commitments, I guess, but definitely make an impact for people. And then, the one for the woman who was, who got the house. I mean, that mm-hmm. was definitely a bigger venture, but, because of the help of so many other people, it wasn't a huge strain on any like one specific person. So that was nice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I was going to say like, even though the other requests were smaller as far as like scale and maybe what it looks like on the outside, I can imagine being someone in crisis, you know, having someone pick up groceries and give me a grocery card is not a small thing. That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a huge thing for me now, and I'm not in crisis, for someone to pick up my groceries for a week. So, I love that. And I love just the picture of, we used to have, especially with adoption and foster care, we used to have a long list of volunteers and we would just kind of cold call a bunch of people if we had needs. But the problem with that is there's not a whole lot of dependability in that. And there's also not a whole lot of support in that.
Ownership.
Yeah, and ownership. And so the idea of it turning to CGs is taking something that's already thriving in our church, is these communities and these small little ecosystems of people, and taking that and just saying, just open up to just one more person for just a season. And maybe that season is a long time, or maybe that season's just for a really short time, but just kind of open that community up to just someone and allow them to be loved on by a community for a period of time is such a beautiful thing. So, yeah. Well, Maddie, how was your CG involved in the Ready Team?
Well, can you explain first the benevolence team and the adoption and foster care?
We used to have the Ready Team split up in either benevolence or adoption and foster care. Benevolence meaning someone who is part of our church or someone from the Shelby Park area or just someone connected to our church through somebody. It could be someone that they worked with or someone that they know or a friend. And then the adoption and foster care side are families who are either have or are experiencing going through adoption and foster care, and they might need a little bit of extra help through babysitting or meal trains when they are taking a new placement, home cleanings, and things like that. We have since sort of meshed them together because really the needs are the same, whether it's someone in our church or someone outside of our church. Generally, the needs are all in the same way. Their basic needs we need help to meet those basic needs, and no longer having to distinguish between the two and trying to train CGs to serve people no matter who they are.
Need is a need.
Mm-hmm. A need is a need for sure. So, Maddie, can you share about your experience with the serving an adoptive family when you all were on the Ready Team?
Yeah. So our group decided kind of like a quarterly thing we wanted to do. And one of the quarters, I was really excited that we chose to help with the adoption and foster care Ready Team. There was a family that had recently gotten a placement, or as actually their third adopted child. Mm-hmm. And so they were receiving this baby and they needed just some extra help. So we brought meals.
They were actually traveling out of state too. They left the state for 2 weeks, I believe it was.
Yeah. And they, when they were gone, there was a group of us. I wasn't a part of this group, but there were several girls who came to their house with cleaning supplies that they had purchased and like cleaned their house and helped organize things. And it was kind of a big lift, but they did a great job and they had a fun time together, you know, just like cleaning out the refrigerator and like just doing helpful things that parents with a new baby just don't have time for. So
parents also that are leaving the state quickly with very little notice, you know, I mean, I couldn't leave my house very quickly when, you know, in a good state. Right.
So I think that it was very helpful and it was good to just like get in there, you know?
Yeah.
So we did that. And then once the baby was here, we were able to bring meals and support them in that way. Just when they really needed the help.
You will also mow their lawn.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I think you're not giving as much credit to yourself as you did. You all mowed their lawn while they were gone. Yeah. You all, like, cleaned the house and got it ready for them to come back home. Filled the fridge with stuff. That was another crazy
thing.
Great
job, guys.
I know. It was amazing. It was truly amazing.
Good. It was really.
And all I did was drop off a key. Mm. It was great. And it was so cool to just watch you all like just descend upon this family and care for them just like you would your own.
And I can't remember because I didn't do all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, like we spread out the commitment and responsibility between all of us in our group. So, you know, of course a man mows the lawn. I'm just kidding. I mow my lawn. But like
Brad Ridge, actually not.
It wasn't?
No.
Who was it?
Claire.
Was it Claire?
Claire.
Okay.
Good job, Claire. She brought her own lawnmower too.
Just kidding. Never mind. Don't play that part. Good job.
But isn't that funny?
Claire mowed the lawn.
Yeah.
Aww.
It's so sweet. I remember being like, yeah, she did. And she brought her own lawnmower.
We had like a bucket of like cleaning supplies to be shared if we were to need to do that again. So it was good to just share the cost and the burden and all of us to feel like united and together to help this person who's a part of our church. And welcome this baby.
Yeah. Did your whole CG know this family before you guys got involved?
No, we'd never met them.
That's cool.
And I think some of them never met them. And I think they knew some people who had served, but I don't think they even knew all the people who had come into their home. Mm-hmm. And I remember her reaching out and being like, what are their names? Aww. Tell me. Like, that was such a gift.
Yeah. And I remember talking to a neighbor, like just when we dropped off a meal and kind of even just share what we were doing, not in a look at us kind of way, but I don't know, just to share God's love and to say what we were doing was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing how really we talk about that in theory of when we show love to other people that people notice. But I think, you know, you all talking about your post on Facebook and then you all bringing a meal and a neighbor seeing, that really does happen. Like, people really do notice. And then they really are getting to see glimpses of God's love through just these acts of their of his people. So,
I think what's also crazy is that when you're in that, it doesn't, like, at least for us, when we were serving in these ways, it didn't feel like it was such a big thing. But then when it was all over, we were like, oh, wait, that was a lot of stuff that was raised for her and and her family. And, like, it's, I don't know, just a beautiful thing to know, like, that wasn't us that was doing that. It was the Lord 100% using so many different people just to bring that together. But when you're in it in the moment, you're like, oh, I'm just gonna go pick up this piece of furniture real quick and
just one more trip from the truck.
It's cool.
It's like fishes and loaves that God multiplies and really blesses people.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's another beautiful window into like areas of town and mm-hmm. areas of life that you're not familiar with. We were unloading a truck in a neighborhood I've never been to. Mm-hmm. And it was just a beautiful thing that even if it was just for that window of time of protection over that open truck full of things, it was still there.
Yeah.
Every pass was a little less because we'd carried it into the house. Yeah. We learned a lot about the housing system. Mm-hmm. Luckily, by the grace of God, we have a home, a roof over our heads. So we've never had to get a voucher to get a home. And the lady we helped explained, like, every morning she would get her three kids ready from wherever they were able to stay and, like, go to the library to type mm-hmm. in her voucher number to hopefully get the lottery for that day to get the house. In my brain, it was like, you get on a list, they call you, you get a house, you get a voucher, and then you have to go and put in the motion. So she was unhoused. We asked a little bit, like, have you been staying with family? And she said, nah, mostly we've been outside. And it was just like, it's just a heartbreak because my world, I come home to a house and eat dinner. And in her world, that wasn't a thing. So it was really nice and beautiful to see the Lord working for her, but also to like open my eyes to other people's situations.
Yeah. And you all were able to step out of your own comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even just for a short season. And just what empathy develops from that and what gratitude develops from that. And I think sharing the hope of the gospel with other people makes the gospel even more real in myself mm-hmm. and in my life. So I'm glad that that's also just a beautiful part of this experience for sure.
Yeah.
Your all's group also didn't just help this one adoptive family, but there had been like a lull of requests. There wasn't really anything, and you all were coming to the end of your serving window. And do you want to share about what you all decided to do?
We wanted to keep it up, end on a with
high
a bang,
note. Yeah.
Right? So we had a parents' night out for the parents of adopted and foster children, and we had like around 20 kids mm-hmm. show up, and from all different ages,
teenagers all the way down to babies.
Yes.
It was,
wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And we had pizza and some activities planned, and we watched Encanto.
Yeah.
And then there was a tornado, and
we all had to huddle into the nursery.
Right. We went to the nursery like hallway, and actually like I had a craft that I brought down, and we had like the little paper plates and we like colored with markers. So it was actually really on theme because we had our rainbows with cotton balls through the storm. So, but we were all safe, and I think that it really blessed the parents.
It did. And I think my favorite memory of that night was I was in a nursery room and I peeked out to just check on everyone and see how everyone was doing. And you had like half the group doing a craft. Half the group was like watching something like a movie. And then there were some girls who were like painting nails of some of the little girls. And it was just like, we're all huddled into this little hallway. Their parents are on a date and we are under a tornado warning.
Well, we were making the most of it.
And their parents are texting me and all of them were like, I wouldn't want my kids anywhere else. Like, and they didn't even really know who was putting on the parents' night out, but they knew that it was people who had been background checked mm-hmm. and who had gone through trauma training mm-hmm. and also people who really wanted to love on and support their kids. Mm-hmm. And I remember just one family in particular kind of stopping us and saying, like, this is our first date night out in months. And mm-hmm. so what a gift this is. And so, yeah. You all did that.
And I was really grateful that you were there to to help us and that you did the trauma training ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Like just trauma-informed care was really helpful and has also been helpful to me now that I have like gone further into my parenting journey. Like it's really helpful advice like to learn about the upstairs brain and the downstairs brain like for myself and for like my children and all kinds of children when I serve in Sojourn Kids. Like it has the lessons that I've learned through the adoption and foster care ready team and the training to be on it has helped me and like blessed my family and like the other people that I serve. So it is continuing. The blessing is continuing.
No.
So If a community group were to sign up to be on this benevolence and adoption foster care team, ready team, what is required of them on the front end? Do they have any trainings or anything that they need to go to now?
Yeah. So once you let us know that you want to be a part of the ready team, we will come to your CG and we will train you. And the idea of the training is really just to kind of give you a glimpse of what the ready team looks like, what things you might be asked to do, how to help someone without feeling like you have to fix everything, how to respond just by walking beside them with love. And then if you are desiring to get involved with children, we can do an additional training. And again, we'll come to your CG just the time that you actually are going to be meeting together anyway and train you on trauma-informed caregiving. Other than that, we'll do a background check, and we ask that anyone who enters a home be background checked and be with a member or a member in progress of our church, because just remember that the communities we're serving are vulnerable, and so we want to make sure that we are always promising that these are our people and these people are safe. With that being said, I always tell groups that if there is a member of your CG who cannot pass a background check, because that is, we all come to this part of our life with different backgrounds, that is 100% okay. And there are other things that they can do to support your CG as you're supporting someone else, or to do things that are less in people's houses and with people that can still be so crucial to the whole experience. So, but yeah, so the training's really short, and really the idea is just to kind of walk you through, this is what it looks like, this is how it's going to work. We take that time to identify who the person in your group is going to be the point person that we'll contact. And we try for that person not to be the leader, because we want to, again, unburden this process as much as possible and have someone else kind of step into that role. And then that's also a great time for the CGs to kind of communicate, these are some strengths that we have, these are some expertise that we have. Some of our members have kids, and so keep that in mind as you're sending us requests. And that's also a time for us to encourage you as a CG that not every request has to be a yes. But also, you all are the people. You all are the on-call people at this time. And so as people come to our church and ask for help, you all are the ones we're thinking of when we say, yes, we can do that. So,
It's a season.
And it's a season, yeah. And it's meant to be a season so that you can really jump completely in and then have an out.
Right.
And have an ability to say, like, this doesn't have to go on forever.
Which can be a barrier to entry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of just like, you know, the summers are really easy for us, or the summers are really hard for us, or whatever it might be.
How long is a commitment cycle?
So the commitment cycles are the same as any other serving cycle. So they're 4 months long. And so we do like the spring and the summer and the winter, or I think it's fall, spring, and winter are the names of them. And then also we've had CGs who have made connections with a particular person, and they're not officially a Ready Team CG anymore, but that person is still working with that CG. And that's kind of the idea, is that then relationships will be made, and it's no longer something that is coming from the church. It's just coming from the people, and you all have created a relationship that is lasting. And we've had people who have been served by CGs then join the CG that they were served by originally, which is also just such a beautiful picture of what this looks like, and how inviting it can be for someone. So, yeah.
I think it's also important to note that, like, it's not as scary as it sounds like it could be. I mean, in the year or so that we were on the ready team with the commitments, I think that maybe we got 5 to 7 requests in that whole period. And
that was you re-upping and saying, we want to keep serving.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We said, sign us up each time that it came around. So, I mean, I think we did probably 3 cycles or so. Like, as soon as they were announced, we signed up. And then we just continued until the program kind of paused to be revamped. So, like, 5 to 7 commitments during that time really isn't a lot, especially when some of them were just go pick up groceries for someone or take someone to church. So it's definitely not as scale. Like, every single request is not going to be furnish a whole family's house.
Right.
That was one blessing that our group was able to do. But a lot of them are just like, hey, connect with this person and do this, you know, something that might seem like a smaller need, but definitely makes a big, big impact for them. But I mean, there were even times, maybe 1 or 2 times, where no one in our group was able to commit to whatever the specific need might be. And I think that that's why it's so important for so many CGs to get involved with this, so that if, you know, Taryn comes to our group and no one in our group is able to fulfill this need, it would be wonderful if we had other CGs that Taryn could reach out to and say, that's all right, because we have 4 other CGs, maybe 50 other people that we can reach out to and just kind of work together to fulfill the needs of the people in our church and then in our neighborhoods too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's usually about 3 requests per serving cycle. So in a 4-month period, you might get asked 3-ish times to step into something. And ideally, we would have 3 to 4 CGs that are on deck. And then that way, as the outreach team is thinking out who is going to fulfill these things, we can be thinking, hey, this group doesn't have a lot of kids, and so they can step into this situation versus someone who does have kids and maybe they want to have something and go to a play date or something like that. And we can kind of pair needs with the CG. But then also ask other CGs if, you know, you're unavailable, which is reasonable as well. So
these needs come up quickly, so you don't have to – it's understandable if you can't meet every single one. And at the same time, you're on call for a season. So if you need to, like, sacrifice one thing, you can, so that you can meet this need, because you know – in a couple months, you're not going to be on call.
Mm-hmm. I think doing it at the CG level helps because it plays to everybody's strengths in the group.
Yeah.
For, I think, one or two of the trimesters we were signed up for, one of our CG attendees was a travel nurse. Mm-hmm. She was in Colorado and then Charlotte, and she asked to be the main point of contact.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to still stay plugged into the CG, even though she physically wasn't there. And it was wonderful because, as you mentioned, the leaders – have enough going on and there can be enough emails and commotion to miss something. But she was like, no, I'd love to be the main point of contact. It was like, great. And she'd sound off in the CG, you know, like little announcer face, like benevolence opportunity.
I love it.
And it was really nice.
I mean, she was doing that from, you know, 5-10 states away. So that was still a good way to get plugged in. You're right.
If we were to have all our CGs step into this role and just constantly have a CG on deck to fulfill these roles or fulfill these needs, I think our city would be transformed. I think that we would have people know our church by the love of God and see the love of God through our members and the tangible things that we're doing for our city. And I think we would be known as a place that just shows his love to others and, isn't afraid to be uncomfortable and isn't afraid for things to look a little messy, but is truly being changed by the gospel daily and also experience God's grace in our own life through these service opportunities.
I feel if the larger network or all CGs were plugged into this, it wouldn't even feel like signing up for something. It would just be part of the church rhythm.
Yeah.
like when you tell people about a CG, it's like, oh, we get together, we do sermon discussions, we go through Equip together, we help with benevolence and adoption foster care needs together. Yeah. It just becomes part of it, and there won't exactly be the need for signing up. It'll just be the need for when it's your turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it also ties into our new vision series. I mean, I think that this gives people the opportunity to, even if you're not comfortable, you know, sharing the gospel in this first interaction with someone, if it is someone who is within Shelby Park and you develop this relationship with them, even if it is just that, you know, first interaction, maybe you're just dropping off a meal one time or dropping off groceries one time, you're still showing God's love. You are, you know, introducing them to who we are as a church and who the Lord is. And if it is someone you can continue to keep a relationship with, you don't know what that could do down in the long run. Even if it is just one interaction, you don't know how that could impact the person moving forward or what their, you know, their heart, how that reacts to it. And I mean, who knows how many people could be saved over these kinds of interactions that we have just by helping serve in this capacity.
That reminds me, I read a definition of gospel hospitality is taking a stranger's hand and putting it into the Savior's hand. I feel like these ready teams and these groups are a very good opportunity to just do that and just make it your rhythm.
Yeah. And if we have just like volunteers and people just everywhere overwhelming you,
yeah,
maybe the people who are getting needs met will be sharing this. And then it might seem a little backwards, but maybe more needs would come to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that we can be more helpful in our communities and in our neighborhoods, and to know that Sojourn is a place where we shared God's generosity, that we serve a very generous God, and that there is enough, and that he like cares for them. Like you were saying, like Jesus cared for their needs, like their whole, the whole person.
Yes.
And like, it is just so fun to like care for these people and always open our mouth and say, like, it is because Jesus cares for you. And yeah, I think it would be really like such a blessing for all of those people who come forward with their needs, and also for our CGs to just that we, our faith would be strengthened to see God move, and that it would bind us together with one another, because you relate differently when you're serving with people than when you're cracking open God's word. Both are really vital. And it would really bless a community group to be a part of the Ready Team.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was just going to say, it would be a beautiful picture for then those people who are served to then turn around and be part of the people serving others.
Yeah. This is the church being the church.
Feels good.
Yeah.
To live into what God is calling us to do.
Amen.
How can a CG sign up for the Ready Team?
Basically, you just get in contact with me, and then we will get you trained and get you started. It's really simple. Nice.
If there's someone in a CG, maybe the whole CG is not committed to the Ready Team.
I'm so glad you said that.
If there's like one or two people that are passionate about this, do they follow that same process?
So we are trying to keep this within CGs right now.
Okay.
We have had in the past where we've just had people who were interested in serving. And so we moved it to CGs so that we could really show kind of the discipleship process of what it looks like to care for one another as you're caring for other people. But if there are only a handful of people within a CG that really have the time and commitment, I would still say that your CG is in a great place to serve. Like we said, it's not a ton of commitment. There is some commitment to it and some sacrifice and leaving of your comfort zone. However, not all needs need every single person in your CG to show up for. So if there's only a portion of you who can really commit to it, I think that's still great. And then those other people can cheer that you on, can maybe provide some financial backing of a need, or really pray. Mm-hmm. As silly as that sounds, that is what some people need, is just a group of people praying for them and going before the Lord with their need.
Not silly at all.
Yeah. So I think if your CG, if even just a handful of you are ready and want to do it, and it doesn't have to be the leader. The leaders don't have to be in a place where they can do this. It can be the other members of that CG who are really spearheading this. And then we also are totally open to, if you and some of your friends who are not a part of a formal CG, but are still doing life together in a very kind of rhythmic way, that can still be what a ready team is a part of. So
there are options.
Yes. Well, is there anything else that you would want someone to know about the ready team before they signed up?
I would say don't underestimate how encouraged you will be mm-hmm. by it. Like stepping into situations to help people, whether it's a new foster opportunity, an adoption placement, or just someone who needs groceries. Just a good eye-opening experience to unplug you from your normal rhythm of life that can kind of just seem like going through the motions. Mm-hmm. And it provides very intentional opportunity for you, from you to them, but also from them to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's also a good opportunity for the Lord to kind of check your heart. Mm. Because sometimes when you do commit to something, you might have like a thought that might be like, oh, shoot, well, I really wanted to go do this on a Friday night. And instead I'm being asked to, you know, go take a meal over to somebody. And it's okay. That's very human to have those kinds of thoughts and feelings. And I think that the Lord just kind of checks that and like, I don't know. I know that there were a few times when we were pulling together that furniture where we would be like, this seems like a lot of work right now. Like, I know everyone's coming and banding the resources together, and all we're doing is really organizing, but it's right before the holidays. Like, the timing of this is just so hard. But like, through that, I think that we grew closer to the Lord. And I mean, he definitely checked our hearts a few times with that to be like, you're helping someone who has nothing and you have so much. And like, just the outcome was so beautiful and so worth it. And like, a family at Sojourn donated bunk beds. So we took the bunk beds over there and like set them up, and her kids were like hanging out with us while we were setting up the bunk beds. And they were like jumping on the mattresses while they were asking us a bunch of questions about, where do you get this stuff? And why are you bringing it to us? So that was just like a beautiful way to be like, this is way more important than like the rotting on the couch that I was going to do after a hard week. And I think that, like I said, it is normal if you are like, another commitment. Do I really want to commit to that? But I think it's definitely worth it in the long run, especially because, like you said, it's only, you know, up to 3 asks maybe in a trimester, but very fulfilling for sure. And fulfilling to just show the Lord to maybe some people who don't see him on a daily basis or don't recognize mm-hmm. that.
Or just haven't seen him in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really sweet to hear how God changed your have to a get to.
Yeah.
And helping these people. Like, I feel the same way. Just being able, like, it felt like an honor to be the hands and feet of Jesus for these families. Yeah. And it was really fun. Like, it felt like a big barrier, like a big kind of on the front end. But then, like, afterward, you're like, I'm so thankful that I got to be a part of this. And I get to see these kids, you know, continue to, like, get big at my church. And it's fun.
And it's uncomfortable to do something you've never done before. But, you know, once you do it, or you know, especially how you come to the CGs and give the trainings, I feel like that definitely helps with setting up, this is what this could look like. And it's definitely a lot less scary once you dip your feet in.
Mm-hmm. And you do a good job of making sure people know that they're not on their own and that mm-hmm. there is support.
Yeah. I was actually training a CG and was doing a whole lot of like, oh, and we'll make sure that you're okay and all of these things. And it was actually very sweet for me. I just had one of the members just looked at me and said, we signed up for this. We want to do this. Mm. And it was so sweet to see too, just these needs are coming to our church. And so how sweet it is to see like, we do want to do this. Like we want to be a part of this. We want to say yes. And it doesn't have to be comfortable. It doesn't have to be all tied up in a ribbon. But that we want to do this and we want to see the messy stuff and also how much closer I think groups get to one another at the end of it, of just getting to clean a house and have fun mm-hmm. together. And, you know, you're not doing it with strangers. You're doing it with your friends that you're already spending time with.
Yeah.
You're doing it on time that you would already be meeting as a CG. So a lot of CGs, if we do like a mission house cleaning, they'll just – on the night that they were going to meet, they'll go to the mission house and clean it instead of meeting that night. And you can still have your discussion the same way you were planning on doing, but you're doing it while cleaning and getting a house ready for a new missionary family to come and have respite. So, yeah, what a it's very sweet to see just the church step up and show up and surround people in the way that you would hope to be surrounded if you were also in these situations.
Yeah. It's Jack again. If you have questions for Taryn about the Ready Team or you think you might want to get involved, she would love to get an email from you. Her email address is tmillett@sojournmidtown.com and her last name has two L's and two T's. So that's T M-I-L-L-E-T-T @sojournmidtown.com. Thanks for listening.